You're listening to the Liberty Hopecast. This is the podcast where three friends who work in the helping profession sit down together, and we have conversations about big issues and little issues that we face. We'd love for you to join us for these conversations. Hi, everyone. This is Hope. I wanted to introduce our guest for these upcoming episodes. Tina Gilbertson is a psychotherapist specializing in family estrangement and the author of two books. One is Constructive Wallowing, How to Beat Bad Feelings by Letting Yourself Have Them. The second one is Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child, Practical Tips and Tools to Heal Your Relationship. She's also the host of the Reconnection Club, an online school and support hub for parents unwillingly estranged from adult children. And she hosts the Reconnection Club podcast, a free resource providing advice and information for hurting parents. We were so pleased that she agreed to come speak with us, and I hope you will enjoy this conversation as much as we did.
It has to be, we have to be able to hold this both and idea of I tried my very, very best, loved my kids, and my kids didn't get everything they needed from me. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's not an either or.
Yeah. Which is why we all need therapy. And we're grateful for you guys. And we love our parents.
So, yeah, I would like to take the segue here, because I know kind of what I gather you're really passionate about now is kind of working with estranged parents of adult children. So if you're okay to maybe share a little bit about that and kind of what you've seen in that very growing field.
Yeah, it is a growing field. I mean, I don't think estrangement, meaning, you know, a strained relationship or an absent relationship between parents and adult children, is new at all. But what is new is the amount of talk and discussion there is about it on the internet and even away from the internet. I mean, my grandmother, my mom's mother, left her family home when she was, I think, still a teenager. And as far as my mom knew, she never, ever went back. She didn't speak to her parents ever, ever again. So, I mean, that was in the early 20th century. Estrangement, and I think estrangement is mentioned in the Bible too. It is not a new phenomenon, but as I said, it is talked about more and more, and there may be more support for people who are making the difficult decision to estrange from family. And so it's become more visible, I think. And with that visibility, parents have come out of the woodwork. And parents, there's so much, I mean, I think you could say there's stigma on both sides. People who have estranged from their, let's say, their mothers, they get told, you should call your mother. She loves you and she needs to hear from you. There's pressure on the adult child, but there's a tremendous stigma for the parent. It's like, oh, what did you do to your child that they don't want to talk to you? So traditionally, I think the adult children are more likely to go to therapy and they're more likely to get an understanding response from the therapist. Like, oh, that sounds like a really tough childhood you had. They're more likely to get validated. But parents on the other side who are unwillingly estranged from their adult children have been, I think, a little bit reluctant to seek help because of this maybe judgment that they fear and the stigma attached to it. So they're only now starting to look for help. And I think the internet has really helped with that, because you can anonymously go and search for support, which has been great. So I had adult children in my practice who talked to me about why they didn't want to see their parents at the holidays. And I would ask them, you know, do your parents know these things that you're telling me? And the answer was either, I've tried and tried to tell them, but they just don't get it. Or, no, I can't talk to them. They wouldn't understand or whatever. So there I am sitting there knowing all this stuff about this person and wondering, what is their parent thinking and feeling on the other side? How is, you know, this must be devastating to them. But of course, I didn't have access to the parent. So I started writing, you know, an article here and there. The first one I wrote was called What to Do If Someone Won't Talk to You. And actually, that one wasn't specifically for parents. It was just, what happens if you want to have a relationship with someone and they're mad at you and not talking to you? But I started hearing from parents in response to that article more than anyone else. And that's when I said, wow, there is such a need here for support. And I decided to really focus on the parent, not only because I thought the need was going unmet, but because in the parent-child relationship, in that dyad, the parent is always the senior partner and has a lot more power than they often feel like they do.
Wow. So what's been some growth that you've seen in the people that you've worked with, or yeah, some stories of hope maybe people can hear about?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so estrangement from an adult child can be like the worst thing that's ever happened to a person. I've heard people describe it that way many, many times. The anguish, they say they've never felt anything like it. And it can be like a crucible for growth that just throws you willy-nilly into this crisis, really, where you can't help but stop and take stock of how on earth did I get to this place where I never imagined I would be? What happened? And sometimes when we are in that kind of a place where everything's falling apart, that is a time for new directions to form. It's kind of the perfect time to rearrange the pieces into a better form. And what's often in play there for the parent is unacknowledged trauma from the past, often involving relational injuries. And the adult child stepping away triggers an older pain, fears of abandonment, experiences of abandonment, rejection, and so on. And so the estrangement is just the latest of this particular type of pain in the person's life, but it's certainly not the first. I think if you're, you know, lucky enough to not have a lot of trauma in your history and be in a reasonably good place, and suddenly your child isn't calling for 6 months at a time, you are more likely to possibly be able to say, well, you know, he's sowing his oats, she's testing her wings, she's out there in the world. And you may be more able to just sort of hang on and see it through, assume that, you know, maybe the future will be different. But if you have tender places that are getting poked every single day that your child is not calling or not returning your text, it's a lot harder, to tolerate it. But if you can, and if you can go back into that old wounding and really address it, possibly for the first time, then your healing will have definitely an impact on your relationship with your kids. I think anything that happens inside the parent, any kind of growth, they cannot help but bring that into their relationship with their kids. And so, you know, what's good for the parent is good for the child and that relationship. So I've seen that happen.
One of my, I had found out about you because I had a client who had encountered you and was really recommending your stuff by way of the estrangement angle. But mm-hmm. they were saying that you strongly say to the parent not to reach out until the child reaches out. Is that correct?
That is not correct. So what happens, unfortunately, is in this kind of work, in order to say anything about it, one has to make generalization. And generalizations do not apply in every case. I think it is true that if your adult child has requested, please, please don't reach out, I need some space and time to figure myself out. If that is the case, then, you know, it seems an appropriate response not to reach out. If you want to honor their wishes and protect their relationship by doing so, then yes, if you have that request, I would honor it. So in that specific case, yes, but that is not true in every case. There are many cases where the adult child would love for the parent to reach out in a particular way. And just, I think that, and this is just a thought, I don't really have anything to back this up. It's just observational. But I think that in those rare cases of lifelong estrangement, it's most likely cases where the parent didn't know what to do and possibly didn't do anything but sit and wait to see if their child reached out to them, when really what was needed was some kind of amends or, you know, olive branch or something that came from the parent.
So what would you say to either the child that's struggling to have a better relationship and has chosen kind of distancing as the means that they're in now? Maybe just start with that. What would mm-hmm. you say to the adult child?
Well, I would say I'm sorry that you have had to make the difficult decision to step away from the only mother or father or both that you have. it's terrible when it comes to that, but I understand that when you don't know what to do and you feel like you can't unilaterally improve the relationship, sometimes most people do, according to the research, do estrange only as a last resort. They see it as a last resort, which is often news to the parent who had no idea that anything was that wrong. But if they want, you know, if you are estranged and you would like to have a relationship, it would be great if your parent would participate in improving the relationship from their end. But if they don't, then it may take substantial personal work for you to kind of fill your own bucket and approach your parent as someone who has limitations and is, you know, has done the best that they can do. And do you still maybe want to have a relationship with that person? So I think it takes substantial personal work from the adult child if the parent is not participating in reconciliation efforts. I would say from the parent's side, also usually substantial personal work is very helpful and very needed, especially if shame is getting in the way. Shame is a terrible, terrible condition because it makes, it just makes everything harder. And it also kind of compels us to do things that don't serve our interest in the long run.
So yeah, what would you say to the, if it's an adult, obviously an adult, if you're a parent, hopefully, if the parent of an adult child is listening and yeah, they feel a loss to know how to mend the relationship or what to do, what is something you think might be helpful for them to hear?
Right. Well, first I want to acknowledge how difficult and painful it can be when you're child doesn't or children don't want to have contact. And there is a tendency to kind of swing back and forth between blaming yourself and feeling ashamed on the one hand and believing your children to be mean, cruel, selfish, materialistic, and so forth. It's a horrible, horrible swing of the pendulum between those two just awful ideas, right? Either I'm terrible or my child or children are terrible. And I want to say that the reality is not likely either of those. The reality is that the relationship has gone awry and that there are things that you can do to figure out how that happened. And the first one is to realize that relationships can go awry without you being horrible, and that estrangement is often an intergenerational process where there are family dynamics that are passed on from one generation to the next that are not super functional. And nowadays, people are a lot more aware of the impact and emotional harm that can be done by certain interactions and dynamics between parents and children that we didn't know about, you know, 25, 50 years ago. So, younger people nowadays are much more likely to cry foul in relationships that may be identical to the ones that their parents grew up in. But that is what it is. But you can't really do anything constructive if your nervous system is all a flutter and you're not able to regulate your internal experience. So step one is just to stop and breathe and find your center, because nothing good comes out of desperation, clinging, pushing, pulling. You need to find your center, because this is a big problem. It's going to take some time to tackle. It took time to get here. It'll take time likely to get out. So you have time to breathe. Once you have taken that time, the first place to start is in looking at your relationship with your child is to look at your relationship with yourself, because your relationship with your child or children is going to be in some ways and to some extent an out picturing of the relationship that you have with yourself, which in turn is an extension to some degree of the relationship you had with your parent. So there's a lot to sort through here, and blame is not part of that. Judgment is not part of it. That's why you've got to start by getting centered so that you don't get lost in shame and blame and other non-constructive processes. And then it's just a matter of educating yourself. What goes wrong between parents and children? What likely happened here? And what can I do? What can I bring to the table now to turn the train around?
So are there, and I'm going to link your website too in the show notes, but are there resources that you have found to be especially helpful for this issue between parents and children?
Well, I tried to create one. I wrote a book called, my book is called Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child. And I tried to make that a do-it-yourself kit for reconnecting with your estranged adult child. I go into some of the antecedents to estrangement I go from intergenerational stuff all the way up to the practical aspects of reaching out or not. But again, I have to make generalizations in order to do that. So there are going to be sort of general advice tips in there. But so that's one. There are a couple of other books. Joshua Coleman is a wonderful San Francisco-based therapist who has written a couple of books on this topic. When Parents Hurt was his first one, and he came out with another one just last year, Rules of Estrangement. And he takes a little bit more of a sociological perspective than I do. He does talk more about what's going on in society that may be contributing. Let's see. In the UK, there is an outfit called Standalone. It's a nonprofit that serves people affected by estrangement, whether willingly or unwillingly. Here in the US, there's an emerging organization called Family Support Resources, run by Yasmin Kirkheads. And she offers a summit every year for the past couple of years. I hope she continues to do it. This year, I don't know when this episode is coming out. It might have already passed. So there are more and more resources available. And I have a website called the Reconnection Club, which is exclusively for parents. It's just for parents who are unwillingly estranged from adult children. Now I have a bunch of materials that I've created for our library, and we have a forum there that I moderate to keep it, to make sure that it's positive, that it's a positive place. And I also have a podcast where I offer tidbits for parents. It's called the Reconnection Club Podcast.
Yeah, that's all super helpful. So I'll make sure I link all of that stuff.
May I flip the script for just a moment?
Yeah.
So my question, or if there's anything you can share, is when the role is reversed, the adult child doesn't really want to be estranged from the parent, but the parent is distanced or estranged from the child. And I don't mean necessarily a situation where the parent was never involved or anything like that, but has since adulthood of the child chosen to be estranged. Do you have much experience in clients and observation of that?
Not as much, yeah. But I always feel so incredibly sad for people of whom this is true. And I really rush to tell them, this is not your fault. I mean, if a parent abandons a child, there is such a thing as tough love. If an adult child is lost in substance use and so on, there may be a need to, you know, cut down on the resources going to that or whatever. But apart from a, you know, something identifiable, an identifiable cause, I really think that I really rush to tell the person, this is not your fault. This is not about you being a bad son or a bad daughter. And it's just, I think it's hard to imagine in many of these cases that this isn't very much about the parent's relationship with herself or himself, that the child is too much a projection of, let's say, a me, if I'm the parent, a me I don't respect or a me I can't accept, then I have to reject you because you are the physical extension of me in the world. There is a lot of identification, projective identification from parents and children, and perhaps it goes both ways. But when your parent has a troubled relationship with himself and therefore can't accept you, I don't know that there's anything you can do about that except assure yourself that it is not about you. And grieve, yes, because that is a huge loss not to have a parent who cherishes you.
Yes, I relate it to grieving and a death, but the person is still alive.
Oh. It's an ambiguous loss. That's what, yes, Pauline Boss calls it. Yeah, it's really, really hard to grieve an ambiguous loss because you kind of grieve it every day and there's no end to it. But what you can do, I mean, what does have a beginning, middle, and an end is the loss of the relationship that never was. That is, in theory at least, that's a one-time thing where you can say, I never had this relationship. And, you know, that's the fact that has already happened. And I can grieve that. It's a subtle difference there between wishing and wanting it every day versus I've let it go. Yeah, what never was, right?
So is there anything kind of in wrapping up here, just whether combining where we started with constructive wallowing or kind of your current work now, what would be the message that you really want to have people take away from you and your work and moving towards emotional and mental health?
Well, what's really emerging for me right now as I continue this work and meet more and more and more people who are suffering, trauma is, I think, endemic in our society, and there's so much unrecognized, unacknowledged, and untreated trauma that is just among us and that's affecting more people than we realize. I think maybe start by taking the ACE questionnaire, the adverse childhood experiences, if you can get your hands on that quiz and take it. Find out if you may have trauma, if you're not sure. And if you do have trauma, there is trauma-specific treatment available. I would start there before I would do anything else, regardless of what the problem is. I would really, it's foundational to start healing from trauma. And there's a wonderful podcast, you guys may have heard of it, that it was Therapy Chat, but then Laura Reagan created Trauma Chat, the Trauma Chat podcast. She's a trauma therapist and has been doing Therapy Chat for hundreds of episodes, but Trauma Chat is new as of last year. And it's a wonderful podcast for the layperson and for therapists.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for your time and energy and resources. Really excited to be able to offer this to our listeners and hope that they will, maybe go get your book and any of your books,
right,
and visit your website and just kind of take advantage of your really just articulate way of putting into everyday language how people can, learn to have self-compassion and accept their emotions as being their emotions, neither good or bad. So thank you for your work. It's beautiful, and I'm so happy to be able to offer it as a resource to my clients.
Well, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you guys. Thank you so much for your podcast and for having me on. It really has been a privilege. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much, you guys. Take good care.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us today. And until next time, I'm Hope.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary.
And you've been listening to the Liberty Podcast.
We hope this podcast was helpful for you. As always, the show notes contain tips regarding today's topic and links for resources, as well as links for how to get in touch with us online. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review on iTunes, as it helps others find our show. We'd love for you to join us again for next week's conversation.